So 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to be in verse 14. But we're going to review a little bit. If you look at verse 13, it says that you may know that you have eternal life. Verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears whatever asks, and it says we know. Verse 18 starts with we know. Verse 19 starts with we know. Verse 20 starts with and we know, and ends with that we may know. So do you see the theme of these verses? The theme of these verses is very easy. This is an easy chapter to know what God is trying to say to us. So we'll walk through these with some companion verses that are on your paper. And we should leave tonight with confidence in things that we know for sure. I was asked some questions today, and I don't, there's some questions in the scripture that we don't know. In fact, we're going to cover one of those tonight. But this is building on verse 13, which says, these things I've written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So what is the most essential thing for you to know, according to verse 13? You need to know that he says you have eternal life. We don't want to go through our lives wondering what happens to us when we die. There's been probably a little too many funerals lately. And if there's doubt about where that person may go to when they die, it makes the death just difficult to handle. But if we know and are confident where we're going when we die, it was really interesting. Bonnie's services for David's mother is on Tuesday. And so she does some journaling. And so David was going through some of her journaling to see if there was anything written in there. And this paper fell out of the journal. And on top of the paper, it said, please read this at my funeral. And it was pretty incredible. And so, and then the journal ends with advice that you would give. And it says, so she writes down her advice, and under it, it says, please read this for the closing of my funeral. And so she was so confident of where she was going, and it gave great comfort to David to read those things. And so what a blessing to know that we have eternal life. So let's look at verse 14 and 15 and get to the second thing that we want to know. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. So the second thing that we know is we know that God hears our prayers. We just know it for sure. Now, we don't know how he's going to answer those prayers and when he's going to answer those prayers. But to say, boy, God's just not listening to me, we know that he hears our prayers. But it says in here, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, what did Jesus say when he prayed in the garden? If it be possible for this cup to pass from my hand, but then he said what? Not my will be done, but yours. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth that as is in heaven. But how do we know then? If God only hears our prayers that are prayed according to his will, well, how do we know what his will is? Well, we don't really. So that's why we pray, thy will be done. In fact, it says this in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. So we know a lot of what God's will is for prayer simply by studying his word and knowing God. So there are certain things we know not to pray, don't we? Certain things we know that we don't have to go and ask God, you know, God, should I go get drunk tonight and drive home from the bar? Lord, what should I do? I just don't know if I should get drunk and drive home from the bar tonight. Well, we already know he doesn't want that. So as we study the Bible, a lot of our requests and things we want to know, they're already answered. You know, Lord, am I going to heaven when I die? Well, we know that we are. We know that we have eternal life. Lord, do you want me to tell people about you? Yes. Lord, are you going to supply my needs? Yes. We know those things. So it's a beautiful thing. But even if we don't exactly, maybe we're young in the Lord and just starting out, so maybe we pray things that are not quite according to Scripture because we haven't studied it enough. Well, look what it says in Romans 8. Man, I love them. These verses changed my whole prayer life years ago. But it says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You ever have your children ask for things that you said no to? Because you knew, no, you can't have Twinkies for breakfast, but I want Twinkies for breakfast. So why wouldn't you give your children Twinkies for breakfast? Because you want them to be strong-boned. And so we just don't know how to pray as we ought to. But thank God, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Boy, what a beautiful, wonderful safeguard for us, isn't it? This isn't a gospel song, but there's a song years ago called I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. And the principle of that song was really good. You know, we've asked God for things, and just like his children, and our children would ask for things that we know aren't good for them. And you know, I won't go into detail, but I'm sure all of us look back on things we thought we wanted, and we're grateful that God said no to those things. And so we know that God hears us according to his will, and then we also know that we end our prayers with thy will be done, but then we also know that if we are a little haywire with our prayers, the Holy Spirit intercedes. And look at the last part of that verse. He makes intercession, which means he goes before us, between us and God, for the saints according to the will of God. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, the prayer is always going to be on point. It's always, and I always kind of picture it where I'll ask God for something and the Holy Spirit says, we know that's not good. We know we're not going to say yes to that prayer because we know what's coming and what's better for him. We're not going to give him that job because we got this job coming up that's so much better. Boy, what a safeguard. It's just a beautiful thing. So the key is that we are free to ask, and God encourages us to ask. In Luke chapter 11, when after the Lord's Prayer is laid out in Luke 11, we have a parable of the neighbor that comes to the house and is persistent, keeps knocking on the door. And the Bible says that the neighbor finally answers his request, just because he's been so persistent. And God says, that's prayer. I want you to be persistent. Come and ask me. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So we are not only given permission, but we are specifically instructed to make a request known to God. And what does that cover in verse 6? What should we pray about according to Philippians 4:6? Everything. Everything means everything. And then it says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I like that verse 6. I'm not as obedient to this verse as I should be. I do pray about everything. But it's not always with thanksgiving. So if you're praying for, you know, God, help us out of this trial, Lord, help us, you know, heal my loved ones. So where does the thanksgiving come in? Just to have a God to talk to. Just to have a God to we let this request be known unto God, knowing his will's going to be done. It's in his hands. The Holy Spirit's making intercession. So we've done everything we could do. And the rest is going to be for his glory. Just to know he's taking care of those things is a beautiful thing. James 4:2 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. And so asking is much more important to God than trying to do things on our own. And that's a mistake a lot of Christians make. It's a mistake I made early in my Christian walk, and I can still make it sometimes. I'm always trying to show God, you know, remember when you're a little kid, I won't do it. I can do it. I can tie my shoe. I can do this. And I remember when, this is a terrible thing, but my freshman year in high school, I was going to get registered and my mom was taking me. And I remember getting out of the car and I remember saying, don't walk with me. I don't want anybody to see me with my mommy. And the look on her face, she was just heartbroken that I was doing that, trying to break away and be independent. And God doesn't want us to do that either. We need him. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, but without God we can do nothing. So he really wants us to include him in this asking and going to him. In fact, it says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without reproach. It will be given to him. But ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And so if we lack any wisdom, go to God. And where's the answer going to be? Usually in Scripture. We're going to find it in Scripture. Matthew 7:7, probably the most well-known asking verses. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. I always like how if you take the first letter of ask, seek, and knock, it's A-S-K. So it actually spells ask. God really wants us to go to him. And a lot of times we don't have just because we are trying to do it without him. He just wants us to ask. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks it will be opened. What is a man among you who, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, he'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Boy, I really can relate to this. If I knew my kids wanted something, boy, I always wanted to give it to them, even if it wasn't the best thing for them. And I really wanted, and still today, you want your children to be happy. You want your children to be successful of following God. Well, I'm a sinner, and I really want good things for my children. This verse is incredible because it says, how much more does your perfect heavenly Father want what's best for you? And that's kind of a hard principle for us to follow. Does God want you to be happy? He does. It's an incredible thing. I come to give you life and to give it to you more what? Abundantly. He wants the love, joy, peace. Now, sometimes challenges and trials come. We use the example of Job today. God brought him through a tremendous trial in order for to increase his joy later on. And so we can ask. And I know that some of us who are humble, and we don't want to, you know, we live a life in which we don't want to be a burden to people. We don't want to be a bother to people. We want to take care of things on our own. But if you view God that way, it's not biblically correct to say, oh God, I'm not, I know you're busy. I don't want to bother you. I know you got lots to do. You should be taking care of others. Don't worry about my needs. I just want others and you. And but it's okay to go to your Heavenly Father and let Him know what you're needing, what you're not so much material things all the time, but sometimes they certainly are material things. But at the same time, while we're going to God for our needs and we're being persistent and we're asking Him because He tells us to do so, we also want to pray for others. And these are the two verses that are a little bit difficult. And I think we're going to walk through them, probably unsatisfactory to you. But it says, if anyone sees a brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. So let's untangle these two verses a little bit. First of all, the emphasis of these verses is to pray for others. To pray for others, whether or not they need salvation, whether or not they're just going the wrong direction, whether or not they have needs, we pray for them. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, therefore I exhort, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So prayers, intercessions are going to God. Well, the difference between prayers and intercessions is very simple. When we are praying, we are going to God with our general prayers. But intercession is to go to God on behalf of someone else, especially those who aren't praying themselves. And that's praying for the salvation. And I have a list of people I'm praying for salvation that I know are not praying. My brother, for example, I pray for him to be saved. Liz has family members. We pray for them to be saved. So we're interceding for them, praying on their behalf. And that says for all men. But what are these verses, because we don't want to tackle, what about this sin leading to death? Well, the word death here, it is physical death. And without getting too complicated with it, because I don't want to bring anything into it that is an opinion. But can you think of examples of people in the Bible whose sin caused them physical death? Okay. How about Ananias and Sapphira? Ananias and Sapphira lied, and it was very early in the church. Now, they're not the only people in the Bible that have lied. They're not the only people in the Bible who committed sin. I think in their particular story, when they were asked how much they gave and they gave a false answer, kept back some of the money, we learned very clearly through that study that they didn't have to give any money at all. But the fact that they tried to, and I think because it was very early in the church, God was establishing right away, I think they're in heaven. I don't think that they were lost. But it was a sin leading to death. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:29. This is from the Lord's Supper chapter. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So God is saying, and I really think to bring it into context that we're studying, there's judgment that God is going to bring. I got a call from someone while we were getting ready for the wedding. And I don't go to church here, but they used to, years ago, live in the community. And he asked if your family can be cursed. And he felt like his family was in a dark place. There was illness here and an accident here. And he just felt like everything was piling on at one time. And he says, my culture teaches that your family can be cursed, as the Bible teaches that. So we talked about that a little bit, and about who the Lord loves, he chastens. So if God is going to chasten Brian, and it's good for Brian, and God has deemed it necessary, can I pray that chastening away? Yeah. You shouldn't. Would I want to? We pray for God. Every night, Liz and I pray for God to draw our children to him. But then we always think about, boy, what would it take? What are we praying for? You know? So I think this is what he's saying, that there are, you want to pray for those who have fallen into sin. But understand, if this sin is Ananias and Sapphira, a sin leading to death, whosoever he's talking about in Corinthians, God's will is going to be done. So we don't know, do we? I have no idea what God's will is for Brian's future. God may have some trials coming Brian's way that I would never want. So if Brian is going through a trial, I'm going to pray for God to relieve Brian of that trial. But it may not be God's will, do you see? And so I think that's the simplistic explanation of these two verses. Just knowing that our responsibility is to fervently pray for others, making intercession for them. But not knowing God's will, just like this brings Romans 8 back into it, God's will be done. And that's what we pray. Lord, I pray you would bring Brian out of this trial, but not my will be done, but yours. It always kind of comes down to that last part, doesn't it? It really does. So let's look at verse Job 1:5. I like this verse. It's an interesting thing. It says, it was, and when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. That's talking about his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. So what would Job do regularly? Pray for his children, offer sacrifices. What a faithful, good father. What happened to those children? All in the same day, in the same accident. Seems kind of rude, doesn't it? But that's how it works. See the difference? Now, did their sin lead to their death? No. No, we don't really know much about his kids, except that it was this interaction between God and Satan, wasn't it? And God bringing these trials, that was part of the trials. They're probably all in heaven, you know. So that was a pretty good day for them, wasn't it? If they went to see the Lord. It's an interesting thing, the deep things of God. And these two verses are the deep things of God. And as I've looked and studied, and I might be way off on these. But I think Ananias and Sapphira are the best example of this for me. So let's go to verse 18. These ones are much more clear. It says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. That word sin, the Greek word is remember the verse that says sin should not have dominion over you? The word sin here is continually sinning. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Now, that word touch there is the same. Do you remember in Jesus, when Mary was clinging to him and he said, don't cling to me, after he'd rose from the dead? It's the same Greek word. It's a word that doesn't mean just to touch, but to grab hold of you and cling on to you. So we know that sin will no longer have dominion over us, and that we are protected from the evil one. Why did Satan not attack Job at the beginning? God had placed a hedge around him. And God protects us. We know that God protects us. And that was one of the things I had the conversation with this person that gave me a call. that if they're truly Christians, even if someone wanted to put a curse on your family, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. There is nothing that Satan can do that God doesn't allow him to do for his glory or for a purpose that is greater than we know. So we know that we're going to have, we all sin, but we're certainly not in that habitual sin that we were in before we knew Christ. There's victory there. Verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. What a beautiful knowledge. We know that we are God's. And nothing's ever going to separate from his love. And we look at the world and we see a world that is shepherdless. And we talked about that today. That was the theme of the day. I wish I had communicated it better. But it is just a world that needs a shepherd. And when we are looking, whether it's the news or whether it's social media, and we see some posts and we just think, boy, that person, they're so lost. They're so wandering. They so need a shepherd. And it gets hard. It was hard. I had a little bit of a hard afternoon with that principle of people needing a shepherd. And that message got to me a little bit today. And so we want to see the world under the sway of the wicked one. Have you noticed that? Have you seen it in our young people? Have you seen it in the world today? Have you seen it in the godless? And when I say godless, it's not a term of saying they're godless sinner heathens. I'm saying they don't know who God is. Because they don't know who God is, their common sense goes out the window. And they're left sad and depressed, angry, and looking for happiness and any sin they can find. That's one who is shepherdless. And I just want them to know Christ. Well, we know that we're God's, don't we? God says one of the greatest evidences of God is the Spirit within us. It's so great to know. Verse 20 and 21, great verses. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So what do we know? We know that Jesus Christ is the true God. That's the greatest knowledge in the world, isn't it? We have an understanding. Larry talked about this in Sunday school this morning about the miraculous gift of understanding that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. To know that you have eternal life, to know that he hears our prayers, to know that we can escape from sin, to know that it no longer has dominion of us, to know that Satan cannot touch us, to know that he who is in us is greater than he is in the world, to know that Jesus is the true God, and to know we're going to heaven when we die. And we have it good. We have a blessing of knowledge. Proverbs 2:6 says, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That understanding, the fact that you know that Jesus is true, that's a gift from God. You did not figure it out on your own. Remember Simon Peter? Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew 16:16. Well, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So do you think we figured it out on our own? There's no way. There's no way. And I'm grateful for that. I know that faith is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. And it's interesting how the initial knowledge that Jesus was God, that Jesus was the Savior, that Jesus was Lord, and I think all of you would agree with this, didn't your walk with God continue to unravel more and more understanding of the universe and of humanity and of morals? And all of a sudden, everything fit in a beautiful little puzzle, and you begin to understand. History opened up to me. Okay, the whole history is all about God. All of these wars and rumors of wars, it all comes down to the Middle East and to God. Science made sense all of a sudden. Creation and DNA and all of those things. What an understanding that God gives us. 1 Corinthians 2:10, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man that was in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So how do we know these deep things of God? And it's by the Spirit. He makes us commit your life to him and him alone. Keep yourselves from idols. That's what he says. He ends this verse. Keep yourself from those things that would run your life, those things that you would put more priority and authority over than Jesus and then the scriptures. Keep yourself away from that. Trust in God. And basically, he's ending this book, this letter, with, you know better. There are false teachers who have come in, but come on, you know you have eternal life. You know that he hears your prayers. You know that greater is he that's in you. You know that your sins have been taken care of. You know that he's the truth. You know it. Stop going towards these other teachings. They're just idols. Aren't you grateful for what you know? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this blessing of knowledge, this blessing of understanding. It is nothing that has been done through the flesh, but only through your Holy Spirit do we know these things. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.